Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Whatever's good for your heart is good for your brain, is good for your genitals, because it's all about blood flow.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. My guest is psychiatrist, brain disorder specialist, New York Times bestselling author of several books, and director of the Amen Clinics, Dr. Daniel Amen. His latest book, The End of Mental Illness, we talk about a little bit more about that. He was on the show earlier in the year, and you all loved that episode, so not only is he coming back on the show, but since then, he's become my doctor. He scanned my brain, because you know that's what Dr. Amen's all about, looking at our brain health. This show focuses a lot on mental health. You know how I feel about therapy. I think we all need a little therapy. But Dr. Amen also realized that we don't really look at the physical health of our brain. So he's known for his brain scans. He's really made a mark. And really, if your brain's healthy, you're going to feel good. You're going to think clearly. And it might just treat mental illness. I think he's right. And since he was on the show last time, I actually went and got my brain scanned in the Amen Clinics. I love working with Dr. Amen. I love when he's on the show. We're going to bring him back because I got to tell you what happened with my brain. But he's also here to help us with you. So we talk about a different take on why people cheat. You know, temptation comes from impulse control, which if we have a healthy brain, we might be less likely to cheat. I think the way that Dr. Amen talks about our brains is such a unique take on it. And I think you're really going to enjoy this show. Intentions with Emily for each show. I want to set intention and I encourage you to do the same. So when you're listening, how could it help you? How could this benefit you? Maybe you just want to know, yeah, what do you mean end of mental illness? What does that mean? You know, I want to know about my mental health and my brain health. My intention is to give you the tools to get your brain in the best shape possible. Find more about Dr. Amen at amenclinics.com or on Instagram at doc_Amen and Twitter at @DocAmen. All right, enjoy the show. Dr. Daniel Amen, he wrote a book called The End of Mental Illness. And I read this book in February, and February of this year. And first I was just like, I never thought about why he wants to end mental illness and how we can do it by looking at the brain. But the thing is, the book actually came out at the end of March. You know, that was right when the pandemic was starting. And we've seen a lot of changes right now in people's mental health, in our relationships, obviously in our sex life, our dating lives. And a lot of it goes back to the things that he talks about in his book, which is called The End of Mental Illness. I recommend you get it. He taught me how to love my brain. Dr. Daniel Amen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Emily. What a joy to see you.
It's really good to see you too. First, let's just talk about what you mean by the end of mental illness, you know?
So I've been a psychiatrist nearly 40 years, and I've always hated the term mental illness. It shames people. It's stigmatizing. And what I've learned is it's wrong. Based on the brain imaging work we've done at Amen Clinics, we have the world's largest database of brain scans related to psychiatry. So nearly 170,000 scans on people from 150 countries. And what the imaging work taught us is that most psychiatric problems, anxiety, depression, ADHD, bipolar disorder, are not mental health issues. Rather, they are brain health issues that steal your mind. And this one idea changes everything. Get your brain right and your mind will follow. I treat a young celebrity, Justin Bieber. I was in his docuseries, Seasons. And, you know, with celebrities, sometimes they'll do what you ask them to do and sometimes they won't. And Justin was like that until he came into my office one day and he said, my brain can have problems just like my heart can have problems. If you told me I had heart problems, I'd do everything you said. And then he started to love his brain, really take care of it, and got so much better. But that's how I see we end mental illness. We create a revolution in brain health because most psychiatrists, most psychologists never talk about the health of your brain. They never look at it. And then they never tell you how to optimize it. It's like, oh, you're depressed, take this drug. You're bipolar, let me give you these drugs. And I'm not opposed to medicine. I'm just opposed to that's the first and only thing you do without honoring, without falling in love, if you will, with your brain.
That looking at the brain, like that was the part of it that I thought, wow, I had doctors just say, oh yeah, you have ADHD and you know, you have anxiety, but that is the game changer when you think, well, if I broke my finger, we'd x-ray my finger. If I had a heart problem, we'd look at my heart, but we don't look at the brain. And so the fact that you were able to confirm some things for me, at least that how my brain wasn't healthy, I had suspected some things were kind of off. I always knew the focus and the attention and my frontal lobes weren't, you know, perfect. And then finding out that you could actually, everyone can work on their brain health. And what I also love is speaking, I don't want to be name dropping, besides the fact that you treat Justin Bieber and myself, you know, your Bright Minds acronym too about brain health is where we were just going with this, is that it's not just about taking a pill. You have a whole brain health, you know, Bright Minds protocol that Miley Cyrus actually named a show after as well. Your Bright Minds protocol.
Right at the beginning of the pandemic, she called me up and she was anxious, like we were all anxious. And as I sort of walked her back from the ledge, she said, will you do this on Instagram for my followers tomorrow? And then she created a whole show around Bright Minds. She called it Bright Minded. And, you know, what I get excited about is when people fall in love with their brains and then they treat it right, it decreases addictions. It decreases depression. It improves self-esteem. people just, they miss this big idea. Your brain is involved in everything you do and everything you are. And when it works right, you work right. And when it doesn't, you have trouble in your life. And, you know, why I invited you down is because I knew that I could be helpful if we could look and then work to optimize. See, nobody really wants to see a psychiatrist. No one wants to be diagnosed as defective or abnormal, but everybody wants a better brain. So what if mental health was really brain health? Then we decrease stigma and everybody wants it. And isn't that what we really want? Your relationship is better with the people you love if your brain is better. And so rather than giving you this or that label, let's just give you a better brain. And in that way, everything tends to get better.
But it's just so crazy to me that this isn't something that we speak about, that it's just you take a pill. So when you look at your Bright Minds approach, I actually had it hanging on my wall for a long time, but it talks about how all these things are important, much like your sex life. It's not just put on some lingerie or do a sexy move. It's like, what is your, you know, here you have, you know, your blood flow and toxins and your hormones and sleep issues. I mean, everything contributes to you being mentally well and your brain being healthy, just like your sex life. So I love that you look at this entire approach. It impacts everything.
Well, and truly, I love what you just said, because Bright Minds, the B in Bright Minds is for blood flow. Low blood flow is the number one brain imaging predictor of Alzheimer's disease. It's also associated with depression. But I just had a session before I came on the interview, and the guy told me he was able to get rid of his Viagra by going on the brain health program. And what I learned a long time ago is whatever is good for your heart is good for your brain. Your brain is 2% of your body's weight, but it uses 20% of the blood flow in your body. And then a long time ago, I wrote a book called The Brain in Love. And I went, whatever's good for your heart is good for your brain, is good for your genitals, because it's all about blood flow. And whatever's bad for your heart is bad for your brain, is bad for your sex life. And one of the big side effects of my program is people's erectile dysfunction gets better because it's about blood flow. Did you know 40% of 40-year-olds at some point will complain of erectile dysfunction? That should horrify people. And 70% of 70-year-olds complain of erectile dysfunction. But what that means is 40% of 40-year-olds and 70% of 70-year-olds also have cognitive dysfunction, because if you have blood flow problems anywhere, it means they're everywhere. And so get your brain right and your love life will follow. Not to mention, get your brain right. We always say no forethought equals no foreplay, because if you make bad decisions, your sex life's going down.
Wow. So you're saying if we make impulsive decisions or we don't make any decisions and we don't prioritize our sex life, it's not going to happen. What are some things that you would tell a man right now? Like, are there some easy fixes or places they can start if they can't come get their brain scanned by you?
Of course. Well, brain health is three things. Brain envy, you have to care about it. Avoid things that hurt it, know the list, and do things that help it. And blood flow is sort of the same thing. You have to have blood flow envy. You want better blood flow because you wrinkle less and you have healthy sexual function. So care about your blood vessels, avoid things that hurt them, caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, processed foods, having low omega-3 fatty acids, no exercise, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, and then do things that help it, which the right diet, think of a brain healthy diet really is as many plants of different colors as you can find, healthy protein and a lot of healthy fat. It means you basically get rid of processed food, sugar, and food that turns to sugar. Those are pro-inflammatory and they damage your brain health, but also your sex life. There are certain supplements that help, like ginkgo. I'm a huge fan of ginkgo, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D, and saffron.
I'm taking all of those. Let's talk about the happy saffron.
I love that. So a long time ago when I started scanning people, I realized many of the meds I prescribed were sort of toxic for brain function. So I became an expert in using natural supplements to optimize the brain. And then about 10 years ago, created a supplement company called BrainMD. And one of my favorite new supplements is called Happy Saffron. It's got saffron, curcumins, and zinc. And they have all been shown to help mood. And as opposed to the SSRIs like Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, that decrease sexual function for a lot of people, Happy Saffron actually increases sexual function, increases desire and function, and has been found actually in a number of studies to decrease the sexual side effects from SSRI antidepressants. Plus, Happy Saffron has been shown to help your eyes, to help your waist with weight, and to help your memory. So at the beginning of the pandemic, my dad got sick and subsequently died. I had to close one of my clinics because it was in Manhattan. There was a lot of stress. And so I'm like, you know, I'm going to take Happy Saffron. And I think it has just done me really well during this historically stressful time.
Yeah, I feel it does too. I've been much more regular now with my supplements because I understand them now. I understand the protocol that I'm on for my brain health, the Happy Saffron, the omega-3s, and the vitamin D. Something else I've been doing in my behavior was trying exercises that are more like eye-hand coordination. Like you were like, you should play paddle tennis. I was like, who am I going to play paddle tennis with right now? It's a pandemic, I thought, after I got back from when I got stuck in Hawaii. And so now I've just been doing more like weight things and I've been taking class, like dance online so I can move. And I see a huge difference in that, in the way my brain is firing.
So that also helps blood flow. And it helps this area of your brain called the cerebellum in the back bottom part of the brain. And as we activate that, that's why dance is so good, because a coordination exercise to music really ends up stimulating your whole brain. So before children start school in the morning, you know, because now a lot of them are still doing homeschooling. Get them to dance with them 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It'll help their learning ability.
Wow, Daniel, I didn't know any of that. So Daniel, you're going to hang out. I'm here with Dr. Daniel Amen. You can check out his book, The End of Mental Illness. I think you're going to love it and it can actually change your perspective on your brain and hopefully improve your sex life. I think it will. It's helped mine. Be right back with more Sex with Emily. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast,
Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Let's talk to Mark, 35, in Arkansas. Hi, Mark.
Yes.
Thanks for holding. I got you.
Well, first time caller, long time listener. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm having an issue I'm running into at work, actually. Kind of give you a brief overview of what's going on. I own a firm, and I have one employee. She's been working for me for about 3 years. And I'm happily married. I've been married for 9 years. We have two kids. And, you know, the sex is great. You know, we have sex about 4 to 5 times a week. But a few months ago, worker of mine, she's my employee, she kind of expressed a sexual interest in me. And for 3 years, I've tried to, you know, we've kept it very professional. Nothing crazy has ever happened. I mean, we just joke around sometimes, but nothing really inappropriate has ever occurred until a few months ago where she kind of playfully expressed it. And I mean, it did spark my interest, but I never thought I would actually, you know, take it further. But she kind of encouraged it, and I mean, I did kind of let it. I did kind of tolerate it, and all that stuff. But I don't. I mean, at this point, even though you know we haven't done anything, there hasn't been any cheating. I have not. You know, the most that she's ever done is she has showed me some nudes, but. That's all it's been so far. And I'm worried that it might get worse and worse.
But
my biggest issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's getting worse.
You're well on the way to work. Yeah.
And she says, cause I've told her like, you know, you're showing me nudes and you're making all these comments. I mean, what are your intentions? I point blank asked her. And she insists that she's not a homewrecker. She would never do anything with me. She just got into a relationship herself and all that. So I kind of believe her, but I'm obviously getting mixed messages here because I don't think she would do this if she didn't have any interest in going anywhere with this. So,
but she does.
The biggest issue is, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, she does. She shows you nudes. She's let you know she's interested a few years ago, but I get it.
So now here's the thing. She's a very integral part of the business. I mean, she runs everything. I really like her work ethic. I mean, she is, I don't really know how the business would function without her.
Okay.
So it's not someone I can easily just replace. And she's also frankly, she is very attractive as well. The thing is, when I'm having sex with my wife, when she gives me a blowjob or something, I'm not really thinking about her. I'm really thinking about the employee.
Right.
I've tried to make our sex life as you know, with my wife more exciting. You know, we buy costumes, we do this, we do that. And it works to some extent, but you know, because I'm going back to work every single day and I meet with her, it's just that temptation is always there.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a, thank you, Mark, for sharing all of that. So I think I get the picture here, Dr. Amen. You get this picture here? You know, first I want to say that I'm really glad that nothing else has happened yet. And physical, at least. But there's still already, you know, some could argue there's already an emotional affair going on. And so is your question, what do I do to pull this back? Should I? Because I think if she is an invaluable part of your company, and she's been with you for how many years?
3 years.
Okay. But what's happening is now that you got the nudes and then you're fantasizing about her. I mean, then this becomes a pattern. And then every time you have sex with your wife, you're thinking about this woman. My suggestion for you is that you have to pull back completely. You have to say to her, and you have to set hard boundaries and limit the time that you're spending with her I would not recommend that you go forward with this at all. This is not going to end well. You love your wife. It's rough times. You're probably seeing her more than you see your wife. You know how all the stories go. But I'm just wondering, yeah. And you said she's invaluable. I do think you might be able to get back to where it's just employee and, you know, you, but I'm not sure how far it's gone. I mean, you might have to be looking for a replacement, but this is interesting because Dr. Amen, I think this also has to do with his brain and maybe having an impulse. What do you think, Dr. Amen, about Mark's situation?
Well, I think, Mark, you know, I'm really grateful for your vulnerability. It reminds me of a story of one of my doctors who told me a similar story. And my first question to him was, do you like attorneys? And he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know where this is going. And pretty soon you're going to lose half of your net worth and be visiting your children on the weekend. And this is a brain issue, as Emily and I were talking about. The front part of your brain is called the prefrontal cortex. It's the boss in your head. It's sort of like you're the boss at work. And it helps you with things like forethought and judgment, impulse control, organization, planning, empathy. And it sees into the future. If I do this, it plays it out, which is why the question, do you like attorneys? And you're giving in to the behaviors that are going to reinforce the fantasizing. And if you have a weak frontal lobe moment, you get drunk with her, you don't sleep well the night before. You go too long without eating, low blood sugar drops frontal lobe function. It puts you at an extremely high risk to be visiting your children. And that just doesn't damage you. It actually can impact generations of you. So when you really kick in your frontal lobes, you just really have to have that really hard talk with yourself. Is this something that's going to serve my marriage, my children, my business long term, or am I playing with fire? And it could blow up in your face in a bad way. So keep your brain really healthy. Everybody gets exposed to temptation. Mm-hmm. But very few people actually look at it from a neuroscience standpoint. And when you get your brain right, your decisions are better. Now, if you were telling us your wife is awful and she never makes love to you and she's mm-hmm. cruel to the children, I mean, we'd have great empathy for you. But it sounds like she adores you and is willing to put on costumes for you. I don't know. I'm not sure I'd lose that one if I were you.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I mean, I really hate myself, too, for allowing it to get to this extent.
It was. And I always tell people some anxiety is a good thing. People who have low levels of anxiety, people think of anxiety as bad, but people who have low levels of anxiety, they would have jumped into this relationship a year ago. And so I want you to keep enough anxiety that you do the right thing.
Huh. Well, I agree. I mean, when she broke the news to me, it was a very stressful moment for me. I mean, all the red flags went up, but you know, the more I thought about it, it was strange. I mean, my brain was kind of trying to rationalize. Maybe it's not too bad. I mean, I've been married for 9 years, and suddenly this attractive younger woman comes in and says, you know, I'm very attracted to you. And I mean, it's very hard to resist something like that. But I think I've done it, even though I've allowed some things to happen, not physical, but just,
right,
you know,
the photos,
chats and stuff like that. But I think I see what you're saying. I mean, my question was basically like, what should I do in this situation? Because I don't think, I mean, I've never even spoken to anyone about this before.
Right.
So I've just been a battle I've been having for the past few months.
I think I'm going to just set up
boundaries, like you said, keep it back to the way it was before. Where I basically tell her, you know, I really prefer to keep this professional because I don't want to ruin our relationship, and just do it that way and see what happens. I think she will listen. once I do set those boundaries. But
I think she will. I mean, here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to say. I'm really glad you heard this, Mark, because I know right now it's also gets very exciting, right? Like you got the nudes. It's like the early part of a relationship, the teasing, the excitement, right? The honeymoon phase, as they call it, even though she's, you know, not your wife. And so you've been with your wife for 9 years. And like Dr. Amen said, it sounds like you guys are in a really healthy relationship. But if you set these boundaries and you start to change your behavior, she's going to also change her behavior and you'll be able to get back, I believe, to where it was. And what I was going to say is this stuff does go away as well as quickly as it's escalated. If you stick to this and your boundaries and honesty with her, I think you're going to be able to go back to enjoying your wife without, you know, fantasizing about this woman. But I also want you to just be careful too, because, you know, I know it's just a one person, two person company, but you know, she could call HR. I mean, you are, maybe you are HR, but I'm just saying, I want you to be honest and really have to stick to your boundaries here. Was it the first week of the job she told you she was attracted to you? Because then I'm not sure if there ever was a place for you to go back to where it was healthy.
Oh, no, no. She's worked for me for 3 years. This just started like around just before COVID hit about.
Oh, okay. Got it. Great. Okay, good. So yeah. I feel like we can kind of get you back here, you know, changing your behavior, laying it down, and continue to, whenever you start thinking about her, just turn it towards your wife. Turn it back towards your wife. The energy goes to her. You go back. What can I do for my wife right now? How can I, you know, send her an affirmation or do something for her that would make her feel good? And I think you'll realize you'll start to build that energy again with your wife.
Heard your podcast before, you who said that instead of investing all this time and money in affairs, invest it in your relationship and make it work.
Exactly.
Mark, I have three words for you. I do this with my patients all the time. You know, I have them all write down what they want. I think, Emily, you and I did that. Mm-hmm. You know, the one-page miracle. What do you want? Relationships, work, money, physical, emotional, spiritual health. What do you want? So it sounds like you want to be married and raise your children together. And then as you go through your day and you decide to do something or say something, this is a frontal lobe exercise. Just go, does it fit? If I do this now, does it fit with the goals I have for my life? And this clearly doesn't fit. And whatever you can do to be a good boss, and a good boss here, always think of two words, firm and kind. Is if you can tell her in a firm and kind way, you sort of let this get out of hand, but you don't want to because she's in a relationship, you love your wife. And when she sort of skirts on the edge, it's really up to you as the boss to get her back. And you can do it with kindness. You don't have to be cold. You don't have to be a jerk. But it's drawing clear boundaries and then reinforcing them. And yes, I mean, of course, it feeds your ego, but play it out. You know, how's she going to look after you're divorced and you're visiting your children and you're sad and all of those things? And that's what a healthy frontal lobe does for you, which is why you never want to let children hit soccer balls with their head, because it can hurt their frontal lobes.
Yes. Oh.
Okay. Yes, it definitely doesn't go in line with my ultimate goals in life. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't want to get a divorce, but it did provide a lot of excitement, mm-hmm. you know, when she was expressing those things. Is it even possible to get that kind of excitement after you've been married for so many years? Because we tried things, you know, like I said, I mean, and it does provide some excitement, but it's just not exactly equivalent to that.
That is the thing. Like, can we ever get back to those first few months and the excitement and the newness? Okay, so I don't think that you ever get back to that. I don't think it's possible to recreate it, which is why affairs are so popular, which is why everyone loves to fantasize about something else. But what I do advise is that if you can sort of start to talk to your wife about your intimate life and start to prioritize things that you both want to try right. together, go to our website, check out the Yes, No, Maybe list. If you haven't done that yet, it offers a lot of different sexual things you can try. There's like 100 things on there, you know, like kissing and touching, and have your sex life become the new extracurricular activity with your wife and start to plan things, start to, you know, I know you said she dresses up in costumes, but you kind of said whatever. So maybe that's not the thing for you that's going to get exciting. But figure out what that is, right? Do you talk about these things? Do you talk about your fantasies and your turn-ons?
Well, we do. I mean, we do have sex about almost every other day.
Okay.
And I mean, she's really happy. I do make sure she has an orgasm every time. And but I mean, I enjoy it. It's great.
But whatever, take it or leave it. She's an orgasm. So here's what I'm hearing, Mark. What do you want? Mark, what do you need?
You're talking about the difference between cocaine and heroin. And so new love is like cocaine.
Yes.
And that's what you want. The problem is cocaine has big problems, right? It always wears off and then it leaves you addicted. But, you know, after the high wears off, the oh my God, dopamine high, love actually turns into endorphins, which is when you're together, you get this sort of warm, peaceful feeling. Mm-hmm. And breaking up with cocaine is actually not that hard. Breaking up with heroin is a disaster, which is why people do really crazy things when they go through divorces, like shoot each other and so on. And so we just have to identify, okay, which neurotransmitter are you really going for? And it sounds like you want that dopamine high. And there are ways to do that. I write about it in my book, Feel Better Fast and Make It Last, because this is something that's going to help you feel better now, but not later. And what you always want to do is, what makes me feel good now and later?
Yes. That make those choices, which I love that you're saying that, Dr. Amen. It's like, that's like saying, should I have a drink right now or should I go for a run, right? So should I have an affair right now or should I think about later, you know, what the impact is going
to
have?
What can you do today, Mark? What can you do today to really turn on your wife? And I always think responsibility is so important. And I don't think of responsibility ever as blame. Yeah, just think about it as my ability to respond to this situation. And so, you know, I want more excitement. Okay, what are you doing to give her more excitement? And that way, hopefully that can also help turn you on as well.
Yeah.
I see.
That is true. When you bring it, like, you know, the energy, when she's getting really turned on by something new and exciting, you're going to get that back as well.
Oh yeah, I understand. I completely understand. When she is in the moment, and you know, it frankly makes me finish quicker because I know she's in the moment. It just makes it that more exciting.
Right.
So yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Okay. I would start to and have different conversations with her and think about things you could do to kind of, you know, change it up, mix it up, and continue to talk about it and explore, go a little bit deeper. All these things. You could do a little bit more work on it in a fun way, right? Trying. It's always about the new experiences. So thank you, Mark.
Right.
Thank you for your call.
All right, thank you,
I appreciate
Dr.
it. We so appreciate it. All right. Keep us posted. Smart. Thanks for calling. Okay. I'm going to take a quick break and don't go anywhere. We've got so much more to talk about after this break. And now we have Walt calling from Colorado, who's got a comment on Mark's call. Hey, Walt, what's going on? You're on with Emily and Dr. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Emily and Dr. Amen. I listened to Mark, and I, too, hope and pray that he's going to go ahead and stay with what sounds like a wonderful wife and a wonderful relationship. And I'm very fearful for Mark that he's put himself in a situation where if he decides that for the business and for the family that changing this employee, he may have put himself in a position where termination results in a sexual discrimination clause. And I agreed with everything I heard. I was off for a little while I was dialing in. The discussion that Mark needs to have going forward should probably be facilitated by an HR professional so that this can be worked through in a way that he avoids potential litigation from a employee that feels like they were terminated wrongfully or misread the clues, et cetera. And so I think total honesty from the business to the family, and then get it taken care of using professional services. I've seen it. I've been a part of it in business where we've had to do it, and it's better done with professional assistance or bringing other individuals. Sounds to me like it's a two-person office, and it's easy with all the success of a growing business to get wrapped up in that euphoria of new clients, new contracts, new income to the business. And I think he's got a difficult role to play in the future here.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think it could get messy. Truly. I think it is a good time to get it in writing and all of that. Human resources. Yeah. See, maybe you could hire a human resources consultant. You never know. All right. He's got a small. Thank you, Walt. I appreciate it. Super helpful. Thanks for calling. That was really interesting, right? To think about all the decisions we make that don't actually serve us because we might not be as in touch with our brain and our decision-making, right, Dr. Amen?
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure I agree 100% on telling the family.
Oh, I don't think you should.
One of the things I spend a lot of time with my patients is, please don't say everything you think. Because it's just not helpful. And if you had an affair, then think about telling her. But I wouldn't. You know, we all have weird, crazy, stupid, sexual, violent thoughts that nobody should ever hear.
Exactly.
But when we hurt our frontal lobe, sometimes those thoughts get out and they can damage relationships. Mm-hmm. And I published a study a long time ago, well, only a couple of years ago, on the male and female brain. Mm-hmm. And we don't even have the same brain. Female brains are way busier in the memory and mood centers. So if you tell her something, she may hold on to it for 15 years. You want to be careful what you say.
Dr. Amen, you're so right. I just let him say that because I wanted to get back to you, but you're right. I think unless something happened and you had the affair and you, even then, I think you're right. I don't think you tell. Even if it was a one-time thing, this is my take on it. I think you're absolutely right. If he's making amends and he's changing the boundaries, I think that she'll never be able to forget it. And I think if it's an ongoing thing and she's about to find out, yes, you got to tell him. But I don't think in this case, I think he just has to change his behavior. I think you're 100% right. Thank you for clarifying that. You don't get past it.
OCD patients with obsessive compulsive disorder, they feel like they have to tell their partner everything. You know, they have like this crazy thought and they're like, oh my God, I'm a pedophile. It's like, no, don't say that. It's like, don't say that.
And you told me these things. It's true.
Yeah. Be, you know, filter. I mean, and just because you have a thought has nothing to do with whether or not it's true. Thoughts lie. It's not the thoughts we have that cause us to suffer. It's the thoughts we attach to and believe that cause us to suffer.
Exactly. Your thoughts are not the truth. Remember that. And you don't have to express them. We only have another minute here. Dr. Daniel Amen, you can find him at Daniel Amen MD or amenclinics.com. His podcast is The Brain Warrior's Way. His book is The End of Mental Illness. His recent book, I think everybody has to get it. It was game changer for me. Change your brain, change your life. You have so many incredible books and work that you're doing. Thank you for being here, Dr. Amen. I so appreciate you.
Thanks, Emily. I'm a big fan of what you're doing to help so many people.
Thank you. I feel the same about you.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I'll see you on Friday. And thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review. And tell all your friends, your partners, your lovers about the show. If it's helped you, I promise it'll help them too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all Sex with Emily. Oh, and I give really good newsletter. Sign up at sexwithemily.com. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, your dating life, relationships, message me on Instagram or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 Eastern, and you can just call me there. Save this number, 888-94-STARS or 888-947-8277, and get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.